What if I told you that thinking about death could make you more alive? It sounds backward, doesn't it? We spend most of our lives avoiding any mention of mortality, changing the subject when it comes up, treating death like an embarrassing relative we don't invite to dinner. But here's the twist. That avoidance might be killing the very life we're trying to protect. Consider this. You have roughly 4,000 Mondays left. Not 4,000 weeks or days, but Mondays. That number suddenly feels different, doesn't it? Less abstract, more urgent. This isn't about morbid obsession. It's about waking up from the trance most of us sleepwalk through. When executive coach Jodi Wellman found folders full of her mother's unrealized dreams after she died, something clicked. All those some days had run out of days. The realization sparked a radical question. What if acknowledging our deadline, the ultimate one, could finally get us off autopilot and into actually living? There's a difference between being alive and actually living, and most of us know it instinctively. Think about your last week. Did you play to win or play not to lose? Did you persist when things got hard, or did you retreat to what felt safe? Those living meaningfully embrace failure as education, seek variety, say yes to opportunities that scare them, and consciously prioritize what matters. Meanwhile, those living a wee bit dead inside settle into comfort zones, quit when challenged, fear failure, fall into numbing routines, say no reflexively, and let life happen to them rather than shaping it intentionally. Only 56% of Americans are thriving, with average life satisfaction at 6.89 out of 10. The empowering truth? Up to 40% of our happiness comes from intentional actions we choose. Try this exercise. Calculate your remaining Mondays based on average life expectancy. How many working Mondays do you have left? Big vacations? Visits with aging parents? One woman booked a long-delayed trip after realizing she'd only get 5 more passport stamps. When you see the number, something shifts from abstract to concrete, from someday to which day exactly. Life satisfaction exists on 2 axes: vitality, how energized you feel, and meaning, how purposeful it feels. Plot these together and you get 4 territories. The dead zone combines low vitality with low meaning. Meaningfully bored offers high meaning but low vitality, finding purpose but lacking excitement. Vitally empty flips this, high energy but low meaning, the party hopper who feels hollow underneath. The astonishingly alive quadrant combines both high vitality and high meaning. The sobering reality? 39.3% identify as meaningfully bored, while only 7.6% consider themselves astonishingly alive. The mid-zone captures 28% who rate themselves as okay, and that's precisely the danger. Okay feels safe enough not to change, but unsatisfying enough to create quiet desperation. Only 16.6% would feel fully satisfied with their lives if they died tonight. Would you be one of them? Contemplating mortality isn't morbid. It's essential for living fully. Without a deadline, life plans lack urgency. Consider, 13% die between ages 15-49 and half don't reach 70. Yet we plan like we have infinite time. Death creates temporal scarcity that makes life more valuable. Daily death reflection, memento mori, through symbolic reminders, countdown calendars, or cemetery visits can reinvigorate life. People who've had brushes with death gain invaluable perspective, like Victoria's poignant email before dying at 33, reminding everyone to appreciate simple joys. Death awareness creates a fork with dramatically different outcomes. The dark alley emerges when mortality reminders stay unconscious and subtle. Terror management theory explains how unconscious death anxiety makes us cling to cultural worldviews and boost self-esteem through conformity. Judges become harsher after subtle death reminders, and death-primed participants doled out twice as much painfully hot salsa to political opponents. The light alley opens when we intentionally and consciously reflect on mortality in personal ways. Conscious contemplation leads to clarified goals, reduced greed, increased generosity, enhanced gratitude, strengthened character virtues, and motivated healthier lifestyle choices. The key difference is intentionality, mindful reflection rather than subtle reminders. About 5% of near-death survivors experience the roar of awakening, a profound shift in priorities. They abandon unfulfilling careers, repair relationships, and pursue delayed dreams. Their brush with mortality reveals what truly matters: deeper appreciation for each moment, decreased materialism, and stronger drive to contribute meaningfully. We can access similar insights through boundary situations, consequential moments exposing our existence's limits. Philosopher Carl Jaspers identified these emerging from change, suffering, struggle, guilt, and death. Milestone birthdays, retirement, or illness force us to confront mortality. We can deliberately engineer epiphanies through structured death reflection, writing our obituary, imagining our funeral, or asking, "What would I regret not doing if I died tomorrow?" The key is translating insights into concrete action, having necessary conversations, pursuing meaningful work, prioritizing experiences over possessions. By intentionally confronting our temporary nature, we gain clarity on what truly matters before it's too late. Making life wider means filling it with vitality and zest, positive aliveness encompassing passion, engagement, and thriving. High vitality people are more productive, creative, and persistent. 6 vitality killers drain this energy. Screen overdose, 6+ hours daily, with each TV hour reducing life expectancy by 21.8 minutes. Unused vacation days, 52% unused, despite those taking fewer than 3 weeks being 37% more likely to die. Chasing money over happiness, poor sleep and nutrition, energy-draining relationships, and deadening routines. 9 strategies enhance vitality: doing what you value, moving frequently, emulating vitally alive role models, adopting a play mentality, nurturing social connections. Relationships increase survival odds by 50%, stimulating all senses, cultivating curiosity, actively pursuing life, and making time for leisure. Revive hobbies by reincarnating old passions, trying starter kits, investing in experiences, copying friends' interests, committing to classes, and abandoning underwhelming pursuits guilt-free. The goal isn't perfection. It's injecting regular doses of aliveness into ordinary days. Deepening life through meaning involves finding purpose, connecting with others, using strengths, and contributing beyond yourself. Research shows pursuing meaning and engagement boosts sustainable life satisfaction more than pleasure alone. Viktor Frankl suggested we ask what life expects from us rather than what we expect from life. Meaning isn't discovered, but actively created through exploration and courageous action. Having meaning and purpose increases well-being, improves mental and physical health, builds resilience, and decreases depression. Higher purpose even correlates with decreased risk of heart attacks and strokes. Ways to make meaning include understanding your impact on others, adopting a giving mindset. Volunteering creates well-being equivalent to a $911 annual bonus. Compromising hedonic pleasure for meaningful experiences, bolstering belonging, considering spiritual practices, savoring positive experiences, seeking challenges, embracing adversity. 30 to 70% of trauma survivors experience post-traumatic growth, pursuing awe-inspiring experiences, and generating generativity, creating things that outlast you. Purpose is your reason for being on this planet. Those without purpose are 2.5 times likelier to die earlier, yet only 40% of Americans report clear purpose. Purpose can be modest. Being a great parent or being the bright spot in people's day are just as valid as revolutionizing healthcare. What gives your days weight? What would you want said about how you lived? These questions point toward meaning that makes mortality not just bearable, but beautiful. Block calendar time for what makes you feel alive. Let your remaining Mondays haunt you productively. Carry a Memento Mori coin. Mark your life timeline. Watch Steve Jobs' Stanford speech. Diagnose dead zones across work, family, social, romantic, health, spiritual, leisure, financial, and personal growth domains. Compile your potential regrets, focusing on things not done. Introduce novelty through personal learning curricula, different routes, spontaneous yeses, and adventure bucket lists. Increase vitality by reconnecting with activities that once sparked aliveness, trying new things, tracking victories, revisiting childhood joys. Deepen meaning by reflecting on past meaningful periods, rating your current purpose, studying purposeful people. Create anticipation. Book vacations far in advance. Plan exciting events in the next 7, 30, and 365 days. Don't defer joy until retirement, weight loss, or career advancement. Use the good dishes tonight. Open the wine on a random weekday. Do your one thing before inertia wins. Your 4,000 Mondays are ticking away. What will you do with the ones you have left?